Election day is more than 4 weeks ahead. Ballots arrive in Oregon in the middle of the month, and one of this year's major races is a rerun of 4 years ago. That is the state Senate race in Oregon Senate District 3, representing the southern end of Jackson County. Alan Bates holds the seat now because he beat Dave Dotterer in the last election, and it is a Bates-Dotterer rematch this year in a race that could well determine which party controls the Senate in the next legislature. Senator Alan Bates joins us today. Dave Dotterer will join us Monday morning at 8. Senator Bates, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you for having me.
You knew from the outset this would potentially be a tough race. Do you relish the rematch?
It's going to be a tough race, and the part of the rematch I like is it makes it important for people to vote. It really shows that democracy works. Every vote counts.
There's a certain amount of pressure in that your race could decide the balance of power in the Oregon State Senate. Does that add some additional sleepless nights or bit fingernails?
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of a situation where if we lose this race, it's going to be a potential 15-15 lockup. We have a couple other opportunities. They do, too. But this is the key race. And probably because this is the race, this is the district, I should say, that's the closest in the state. And our registration is just about 50-50 in this district. So we can swing either way. It's one of those absolutely true swing districts. So it's a tight race, and it's going to stay a tight race, and it always will be a tight race down here. It's the way the demographics are. You know, from my point of view, it's just been a real honor and privilege to serve people in Southern Oregon as their senator for the last two sessions, and I would like to continue to do that. We have a lot of unfinished business we have to take care of up there, and when you're there as long as I've been there, you know, 8 years in the Senate, you really know where everything is and how to make things work and how to get things done.
Well, okay, that does bring up the question then. So what are some of the things you still want to get done, things you haven't been able to do yet or the legislature hasn't been able to do since you've been there?
We're moving forward in a lot of areas, but there's some things that need to be continued. One is our drive to get everyone in state insured. We're at 95% insured now, which is amazing. Health insurance, yes. We've done that since 89 and got 95% insured now. And we're also, you know, want to be in a situation where these coordinated care organizations we started 18 months ago really do the job they're supposed to, which they are starting to do. We're driving health care costs down to Medicaid. We're going to be at about 2 or 3% increase per year. And PEB, which is the biggest part of state employees who are insured by the state, their premium increase this year because of CCOs is going to be zero. I mean, I don't know any other part of the industry, the health care industry, where you're going to hold premiums to zero. And that's because of the things we've done through CCOs to bring costs down, preventative care, doing things that to keep people healthy before they get to the point they have to go to emergency rooms or hospitals. So that's a huge amount of money. We're talking, $1 billion, which then we can move over into education, K-12, higher ed, other areas. Those savings are dramatic, and we want to make sure they continue. That's probably the biggest thing that I've worked on in the last 8 years, was setting up CCOs, saving that money, now we got to move that money into higher ed and into K-12.
And jobs. Jobs is high on the list for both of the candidates in this race. I mean, what levers has the legislature been using? What additional ones are available to it?
What we've done is rebuilt infrastructure. I know it's kind of a distressing driving up and down I-5 and having all that road work go on, but starting 8 years ago, we put together bonding that's being paid for by slightly higher registration fees to fix all the bridges on the I-5 corridor and bridges across the state. This isn't Washington State, where like the Skagit River, where they drop a bridge, or Minnesota, where a major bridge goes down. We maintain our infrastructure and make it safe. And the new bridges we're putting in are basically earthquake proof too. So we've built them to higher standards. That kind of thing means we keep the trucks rolling, we keep things happening, we keep the industry rolling too. The other thing we've done is if you look at statistics of what growth we've had in jobs here in Southern Oregon, how we're coming out of the recession, manufacturing is coming up a little bit, construction's slowly getting a little bit better. But one place we've had steady growth is in the healthcare industry. Healthcare in Southern Oregon is going to be a continuing and increasing need as our population ages here. We have people coming in from all over the world, primarily California and the Puget Sound area, come here to retire. And they're over 60, 65, and they have physical needs and sometimes emotional needs, but mainly physical needs. That workforce has steadily increased. We've added 2,000 jobs in the last 10 years, and that's going to continue to increase. We're a regional hub for healthcare. It's a great industry. It's a family wage jobs, nurses, doctors, nurse practitioners, respiratory therapists, medical assistants. All that stuff happens here, and it's a ripple effect through the economy. So while the rest of the economy has struggled, even during the recession, that continued to grow. And the reason it grew here is we brought in almost $1 billion more money through Medicaid and Medicare into Oregon to support these systems. Other states turned their back on that money. We did not. I drove hard to get what we call the provider tax in place, which matches federal money. It brought in $1 billion more money for these kind of employees. And that's the kind of things we can leverage and make work for our community.
Senator Alan Bates, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. You might tell from the way he talks, he's also an MD and is running for re-election in Oregon Senate District 3. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or jx@jeffnet.org or check out on Facebook and get a look at Senator Bates just before we started talking here this morning. About jobs, I was curious because I went back and looked at the Nike special session in December of 2012. You were one of two senators who didn't cast a vote. Were you not there?
I was. That was a special session that was pulled on us with 2 days' notice, and I was in Perth, Australia, visiting my in-laws. My daughter is married a young man from Perth, and I Skyped in and asked, "Do you have enough votes for this?" And they said, "We've got plenty of votes. Don't come back." And I said, "I'll try to get back." But it was 2 weeks before Christmas, maybe 3 weeks before Christmas. And if you ever try to go from Perth to Medford on 48 hours' notice, it's just about impossible, okay? But they had plenty of votes, and they said, your vote isn't going to matter. So I, in fact, did not come back for that vote.
You would have voted yes?
I would have voted yes.
So how far does a legislature go? I mean, how far? Where does it draw a line between providing incentives and breaks for businesses to grow or locate in the first place, and feeling like you're giving away the store?
You know, you've got to be careful that it's not a race to the bottom with other states, okay? We did some things in the state, have continued to do some things in the state I think are logical and appropriate, but you have to be careful and take each one by one. As an example, we have a single source taxer. That means that if you're a big company like Nike or Intel or even a small company that's selling products outside the state, you don't get taxed on your entire sales. You only get taxed on what you do in the state. That keeps businesses here, big and small. There's a lot of states that tax you on everything. Everything you sell across the United States, we don't do that. We want to encourage businesses big and small to stay in the state, and that's one of the things we do. I voted on that bill way back in 2001. We put that in place, and I was one of the yes votes in that, probably one of the few Democrat yes votes because it lowered our tax base. But we want those businesses here.
Let's grab the headphones. We have a call for you from Ryan in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Senator Alan Bates, running for re-election.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to chat. I'm very sorry I will not be able to vote for you, unfortunately. But needless to say, I'm also extremely interested in what you were talking about in terms of infrastructure. And one of the hidden stories of infrastructure that's been seriously underfunded is higher education. And as I look at Southern Oregon University, and you're mentioning healthcare and the infrastructure there, that there's an OHSU nursing program at SOU. You know, those are the kinds of things that bring that economic development, that bring that energy, that bring that family wage jobs. And yet the state is catastrophically underfunding community colleges and higher education. So what are your thoughts?
All right. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks. He's absolutely right. If you look over the last 8-10 years when we've gone through this horrible recession and we had to make cut after cut after cut, proportionally higher ed was cut higher than any other area because we kind of shifted that burden back to students on higher and higher tuition, which is making it almost impossible for a middle-income person to get an education now. Our goal next session, and Peter Buckley and I have had long discussions about this, and so have us in leadership in the Senate. We put $1 billion more back into K-12 last session, $1 billion above the previous budget. We are going to make a huge investment in higher ed next time around, too. The revenue looks like we can afford to do it. As I said earlier, the savings we're going to make in human services, the savings we're going to make in insurance is going to be transferred directly to higher ed and community colleges. And we want to make a huge investment in that and start moving this in the right direction. We also want to make that investment in certain areas. In higher ed, we're going to ask for more science, more engineering, more nursing programs, things that when these people come out of the education system, they are job ready and going to go into jobs, they can get jobs in. So we're going to do both those things, and there's a sense, certainly on the Democrats in the Senate and on the House side, the Democrats also, we're going to put some serious money back into higher ed and then maintain it and on a continuing revenue stream forward as we control costs on other parts of the budget.
Okay, so as we talk about this, there's an education component and a financial component in paying for the education. Let's deal with the education part first, because if there's any place where this campaign has turned a little sharp, it's on the issue of education, with the commercial that has been cited a lot lately with the little girl looking at the camera saying, Alan Bates deserves an F. So what grade do you think you and the Democrats in the legislature deserve for what you've done with public education?
I think we're probably at about a B level, to be completely honest. We're not A plus. We've gone through the worst recession this state has seen since the 1930s. Our job was to hold the services that people count on from government together, whether that be, you know, safety nets, what we take care of our elders and our seniors. We had to maintain the correction systems and law and order. We had to do all those things, and we had to balance that as best we could. All that said, we made cuts in K-12 that we had to make, and yet we kept the system going. Our scores for people graduating from high school, as far as SAT scores are, they're about average. We maintain an average there despite the cuts. Our amount of children and kids not graduating from high school is still significant. It's one of the worst in the United States. We're going to work on that. We're especially are concerned about what we call the achievement gap, where minorities aren't doing as well as they should and actually are falling behind the rest of the students. We have to work on that, too. Again, the $1 billion we put into schools last session are starting to show some effect. You're not seeing class sizes go up. The school years are lengthening. We're spending more time with the students in classes. More is getting into the classroom, and we expect that to start turning this thing around over the next couple of years. But the system did suffer from the terrible recession we had, and we have to fix that. We're working on it, and we got $1 billion more in, which I think in time over the next year or two is going to make a real change.
Senator Alan Bates, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, running for re-election in Oregon Senate District 3, a potentially pivotal race that could shift control of the Oregon legislature. Okay, so now the financial part of the education thing, there is that other perception that when you go through lean times and have to cut, when the revenue improves again, as it has, that Democrats in control of the legislature immediately go spend the money.
That's not quite true. When I entered the legislature in 2001, there was no rainy day funds ever. In the boom years of the 70s and 80s and 90s, when Republicans and Democrats were in control at various times, they never put a penny away. During the time we've been there, Democrats and Republicans have come together to set up two separate rainy day funds, which we fund every year. We actually had to tap into one of them already during the last dip we had. It was a common school fund we put the money into. Those funds will continue to build because we know there's going to be another recession someday. And they're built in a way that when they reach several billion dollars, they'll then stop being funded. But they can only be tapped out and brought back out constitutionally when certain triggers are met, a certain amount of recession, certain amount of falling revenue. But we don't want to be in the position we were left in 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, when there was nothing to go to. Now we have two rainy day funds. We're filling them back up slowly and steadily. And if we just get 4 or 5 years of decent revenue, we'll be in a position to be ready for the next time we have a recession. What's going to happen? We all know what's going to happen again. Hopefully nothing like we've gone through. But we've actually put money away.
Let me see if I can encapsulate what Ethan has written in an email. He writes, a year or two back, I learned of a piece of legislation introduced in committee that could have had a huge impact on my business. I contacted Senator Bates' office, letting him know about the legislation, expressing my concerns, and asking for a chance to answer any questions he might have about how it would impact my industry. My business was one of maybe 8 or 9 like it in the state, and our being based here in Medford, I had hoped my local senator would hear me out on some level. To make the long story short, he says he received a canned thank you, learned you were the sponsor of the bill, and ultimately didn't get what he wanted and didn't feel like he got any particularly good constituent service.
Do you know what the bill was?
It's not referred to by either name or number.
I have no knowledge of that, but I'll be glad to look into it. absolutely. Yeah, I need to know what the bill was, what the effect was, and how it affected his business. I just don't know who that is.
All right, he doesn't specify what the business is either, but okay.
We will check that.
What's the biggest refutation of some of the things you've heard from your opponent, Dave Dotter, in this campaign? I mean, what's the biggest misconception you want to clear up at this point?
I think Dave's an honorable person, I think that his service to the country and the Marines was excellent. I appreciate that and honor him for that. I think the biggest misconception is probably that he worked very closely with Dennis Richardson, who was very, very conservative, and both he and Dennis are very careful not to let people know how conservative they are. And I'd like to know where he is on, you know, things like women's rights, where he really is as far as how we handle the budget. He was a chief advisor to Dennis, and they wanted to hold back millions of dollars from K-12. There was a fight about that, and Republicans lost that fight. We ended up putting more money into K-12 than they wanted us to. Those are the kind of issues that really define people, both he and Dennis are very careful not to bring those issues to the fore. I think that's probably the biggest misconception. Dave's a good guy, but he's very conservative and really didn't want to do some funding that I think was really vital. That we take care of our elders, that we fund K-12 to as much as we can afford to while we maintain our rainy day funds. And they were opposed to those things. Dennis was, and he was Dennis's chief financial advisor. So I'm sorry. That's where I would like to see a little more clarity.
I apologize. We have less than a minute here to try to clear up Cover Oregon. I mean, what can you say about that and what you wish had happened or should have happened?
First off, Cover Oregon, whether you believe it or not, has been a huge success. That's how we got to 95% of people in the state being insured.
Not the website itself.
The website, total disaster. Okay, that is run by the IT committee, and the IT committee just missed the ball on this thing. They were lied to by people from Oracle and lied to by people inside state government, all of whom have now been fired for their lying. So they were led astray. And I wasn't directly involved in that, but I was there when it happened. I share some responsibility. We've set laws in place now. We'll not allow that to happen again.
Senator Alan Bates, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.